Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It's not Steve, obviously. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined by Chris Williams in California. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Hey, Becky. Good to be with you today.
I am so glad you are with me. I was just talking to Chris before the show. We had a life recovery conference on Saturday, and I'm still repeating some of the things that Chris taught us about. And, you know, one of the things that you talked about was you were just talking about tolerability. And trying to increase that space to endure things that don't feel like we can endure them. But along that same lines, I think a lot of people put up with a lot of struggles that they really don't need to. Like, how do we know when we need to go and seek help? I know I'm hitting it right off the right off the beginning of the show.
When do we need help? Right now is when we need
help.
There
you go. That's it.
But we want to pay attention to especially negative changes in our life. Are we having a lot of struggle sleeping? Is our energy really low? Are we having a very difficult time shaking the worry off of us? Is our anxiety getting really, really sticky? Are we becoming more moody, more withdrawn? And the problem or the struggle with this is it's sort of like that proverbial frog in a boiling pot of water. We get used to these things don't typically come on quickly. They come on gradually over time, and we negatively adapt to them. And so we sort of can't recognize like sort of how far down the rabbit hole that we may have gone. But it's really, really important that we don't I want us to be able to increase our tolerability for the struggles and the challenges of life, but I don't want us to increase our tolerability to stay in it. Mm-hmm. I want us to increase our ability to recognize that our health is of the utmost importance and that we need to invest in it and invest in it now.
Right. One of the things that I think about are the four components: spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional health. And, you know, there are sometimes when we are physically ill that it impacts all the rest
Absolutely.
Of those components.
Absolutely.
And I think we can also dismiss our feelings because we're sick or because we're going through something. But, you know, I talk to so many people who wait until they reach out for help. And as a side note, for those of you who are listening right now, you know, we're here for you. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000 and ask a question. But I think many times we even resist that. What is it that keeps us from asking for help? Chris, what do you think the challenge is there?
I think the number one resistance to asking for help is our own shame, our own ego. Is that somehow it's going to reflect something poorly about ourselves, a defect about ourselves. And we just have the hardest time admitting that, becoming forward and okay with our limitations and our liabilities and the things that we aren't good at, our weaknesses. And what we learn in emotional wellness and mental wellness is that relational wellness, spiritual wellness, all of that is that our vulnerabilities are ironically our strengths.
Right.
You know, right. Because God created us relationally. He created us porous to Him, to other people. And I get it because that's also the place where we experience our pain and our heartaches. I think the second thing that is sometimes we don't know where to look and where to go. And that's what we're here to do with both of those things. Let us know what's going on. Let us help you and guide you where you need to be and where you need
to go. That's right. That's right. We can help you. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're taking calls for a couple of hours. Dr. Jackie Metcaris is going to join us as well. But we want to help you so that you can move forward in your life and you can experience life the way God has intended for you to experience it. We're glad you're here. We'll talk to you in a minute.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Chris was just talking about shame, and a lot of times shame keeps us from reaching out, just like Chris was talking about. And one of those areas is our Restore workshop. We have so many women who are affected and impacted by betrayal trauma, but the shame of what their husband or partner has done keeps them from getting the help. And we don't want to keep we don't want you to stay away from the help that you need. You're going to find a no shame zone. You're going to find great community at Restore. And we want you to be there, because I've seen so many women come in and they're just, don't want to be there. It's the last thing they wanted to do. But then by Sunday, they're so grateful because they received the help, the support, a plan going forward, and a hope for their future. And so if you want to go, or if you know somebody that needs to go to Restore, give us a call and we'll see you there. Right now, we are going to take a call from Kiri, who's calling us from Colorado Springs, Colorado, listens on KGFT. Hi, Kiri. I'm glad you called. And how can we help you today? Hi.
So I guess my question is, I'm always told that God hates divorce. I'm currently separated, have been for a few months. My husband was on meth. He just got 30 days clean. And then I also, earlier in the year, found some dating apps and him talking to other women. Although he says nothing physical, I still think that's cheating. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly, like, the big stuff. He turned to drugs when his mom died from cancer a couple years ago. People at my church have said, God hates divorce and you're supposed to stick it out and do all this stuff. And I just wonder, like, at what point is it okay and should I follow through with a divorce? Like, I don't know. We have 6 kids. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, it makes sense that you've had a lot going on, Kiri. And it's good that your husband's doing something to address these issues, I think there's a long way to go. And the short answer, of course, is God does hate divorce, but it's not for the reasons that you're talking about. Chris, what would you offer, Kiri, as far as a plan going forward or how to deal with those kind of questions from well-meaning folks?
Yeah, Kiri, this is a tremendously big issue. And let's face it, God hates a lot of things. And yet there is this reality on planet Earth that we deal with, that the things that he hates, we still somehow live with until the other side. This isn't to excuse or give permission to our destructive ways whatsoever, the things that cause harm. And obviously divorce is something that can cause harm, but we're looking at a much, much, much bigger picture here. And so I just want to ask you, what has your husband done to get 30 days sober?
He checked himself into a detox, and he was there for 3 or 4 days, and then he's going to NA meetings.
Okay. Okay, excellent.
And working with a man from there. I don't know.
And then what, is there other issues of, like, verbal abuse, physical abuse? Like, what's it like inside that marriage?
Nothing physical, never anything physical. I think when he was using, yes, and verbal, I don't know, sometimes I even get confused on that. Am I just imagining that, or is it, was that really abusive?
Yeah. So well, did it? Let me ask you a question. Did it hurt you?
Yes.
Then it's not okay.
Right.
Like, let's really make it simple here, so that we have clarity around it, and we can even take out the word abusive, but we can just say it hurt me, and that's not okay. That's not acceptable. Okay.
And this is kind of, Chris, along the lines of what we talked about in the opening about putting up with stuff for so long. Like, when is enough enough?
Yes.
And Carrie, you've been struggling with this for a while.
How long have you guys been married?
We celebrated 10 years in June.
Okay.
14 together.
And then there's, you found dating apps, which had to have been tremendously hurtful. I mean, imagining seeing you find that on his phone and just the heart sinking into the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has there been any patterns of that previously in your guys' relationship? Like whether it be pornography or other forms of sexual acting out?
Pornography. I had early in our marriage caught him emailing another woman, and we sought counseling for that for a while, and I thought that that was kind of the end of it until, you know, recently discovering that it, I guess it never stopped. I don't know how long he was on dating apps or how long he's been talking to other women. I know that since he's joined NA, he has quote unquote female friends that he texts that I have expressed that I'm not okay with, even though we're separated. So I don't even know if I have a right to be upset.
Well, you're married, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, what I'm thinking too, Carrie, is your question is, does God hate divorce? He does hate divorce, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't put a stamp of approval on what is going on in this marriage. And I think that's where so many people get to that struggling place that you guys are. Your husband's obviously got a lot of addiction issues. I would say the meth was just one part of it. Mm-hmm. But his sexual integrity also. What kind of support have you had during all of this?
My support pretty much extends to my mom and sister letting me move in with them. with one of our kids is 18 and lives with his mom, but I have the five other kids, and so I stay with my mom and my sister in a three-bedroom house. It's tight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How about counseling, Carrie, or any small group, any kind of support like that?
No, I've been trying to get counseling set up, but I'm waiting for a place to call me back.
Okay, well, you might need to get a little more proactive on a couple of things. I think the place where you're getting stuck is the question of, does God hate divorce? What if the answer was no? What would be different?
I guess nothing. I don't know.
Do you feel like you're stuck, Carrie? Like it really isn't about whether God hates the divorce or your husband's clean or sober or any of that. Do you feel like you're stuck?
Yes, a lot of times.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Yes, stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear your tears.
What the right course is.
Yeah, because you're trapped because God's okay with infidelity as long as it happens in the context of a marriage because he hates divorce that much. We start playing around with these moral imperatives and we start realizing how ridiculous our application in real life that they end up becoming. And so that sense of stuckness is entrapped, is going to create tremendous fear that turns into desperation, and desperation doesn't make good decisions. And so what we want to be able to do, Carrie, is, as Becky was saying, is let's surround you with support. Is your separation a legal separation?
No.
I would make it a legal separation as quickly as you possibly can. And maybe put a timeline in there. A timeline of, I want a legal separation of 6 months. I'm going to give you 6 months to get clean and sober, as well as get into a program and a process of sexual acting out and infidelity that shows me that you can restore trust in the marriage. If you can do that, then we can begin. Let me hear that. Say this very, very clearly. We can begin a process of restoration to see if this will work.
Right. I love all of those variables too. And Carrie, here's the thing: you've been trying to do all of this on your own, right? I mean, your support has been your mom and sister, but it's still a lot that you're dealing with. And I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it in your tears. It's a lot. And so one of the things, if you've been waiting for a counselor to call you back, we can help you get connected. We've got folks in that area of the world. But I also know that we have online groups, life recovery groups, that could be helpful in your support time in this time where you're going to start making boundaries like what Chris is talking about. Chris, beyond the separation, what are some other steps for her to recognize this is just out of the starting gate? Because I agree with you. Sometimes we can look at like a 30-day clean and sober and think of it as a banner winning day. And it's not. It's the beginning. I mean, we're celebrating it.
You've walked through the threshold of the door, and that's about it. And I don't want to – I also don't want to minimize the importance of that. But I also want to say that this is a long journey, and it takes a while. But Kiri, if it's possible, any way possible, you know, I know you have a lot of kids, and those kiddos need taken care of really well. Any way to get to our Restored Conference, I couldn't encourage you enough, because you're going to be able to let go, unwind, and really just kind of open up to the truth of what you're experiencing and be able to start to offload what doesn't belong to you. His drug addiction doesn't belong to you. His infidelity, it doesn't belong to you. His past, it doesn't belong to you. And then be able to get with this great band of sisters and start to get some encouragement, some love, and some rebuilding of yourself back in the way that you've been chipped away at as a result of being with him for 10 years, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, this kind of goes along too, Carrie, with what we were talking about. A lot of times we're in such a place that we know we need help, but doing help and getting help is a whole different level of energy. How do you feel about what Chris and I have talked about as far as, you know, your next steps?
I think it's great. Legal separation seems so scary, but I think it's probably a good idea. And you know, he keeps asking me what he needs to do to rebuild trust, and I don't know what to tell him. So
Chris, can you give her a couple of can you give her 1, 2, 3 to tell
him
what
okay
he
so
can
for,
do?
First and foremost, he's minimizing quite a bit his interaction with females and his sexual compulsivity around that. Now again, I'm not here to overshoot something that, you know, overstep something that I don't know, but based on the pattern that you've already told me, he needs to get into a program to address his relationship with women. And again, couldn't recommend more. Every man's battle, you know, him getting into every man's battle, so that, again, what that does for us guys is it helps break through all of the ways in which we manage the behavior, because we manage it through defense mechanisms, denial, minimization, rationalization, justification, all of those sort of things that turn into gaslighting at the end of the day. And we gaslight ourselves before anyone else. He's got to break through that. So again, attending every man's battle would be a great start, and it would be a great thing for you guys to be able to do Restored and every man's battle, because then you can develop a common language and a common understanding of what the problem is and what you need.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Okay.
It's hard. I hear that you have that willingness, and Carrie, that's like the biggest step, is to be willing to do something different. We're going to send you a copy of Every Man's Battle to give to him, and we're going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust for both of you, and I want you to read that as well. But Stay on the line. We'll get you a counselor in your area. We'll get you connected that way, and we'll begin to just pray for clarity. I think when you get some ideas about what to expect from him, it's going to become real fast for everybody in the relationship. And the hope is that there's going to be a big change. We're so glad that you called, and we're going to continue taking calls. If you have something that you want to talk to Chris and I about, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We are here for you. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us, and just like Terry Mack just said, we are taking your calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. I think so many times when people are thinking about calling, like you just heard me ask for calls, and you're thinking, you know, I don't need to call. Nobody's going to, like, I don't want anybody to know. Listen, you can use any name you want, but you've got an opportunity to talk to both Chris Williams and Dr. Jackie Mack-Harris. Hi, Jackie. She's joined us in the studio. And, you know, we started the show today, Jackie, with the challenges for people to actually get help. And what we just were talking with Carrie about, here she's overwhelmed with so many things. And still, I think that the challenge of getting help is difficult. And I just would love to have your take on it.
Yeah, I was listening to her as well and thinking there's just so many things going on, and it's a challenge when you have a problem, and sometimes you might even reach out and talk to people, but they need something different. They need you to respond in a certain way so that they feel okay. They're not always focused on what you need, and sometimes that can be shaming. It can make it really hard. It's where the stigma comes from, because people have opinions about how we do life, but I think we have to push past that and keep asking for help, keep talking to the next person until we get the help that we need. And I think it was really brave of her to make that call. And she's just got so much going on, the kids, and it's just, it's a lot. And the best thing she can do for herself and her family is to continue to reach out for help and support.
That's right. You know, God's story is an unending cycle of redemption. But we have to understand, if there's nothing to be redeemed, we will never find ourselves in that story. And so redemption comes from a place of need and vulnerability and potential, you know, weakness and sometimes tragedy in our lives, whether that be our own making or something else. And so if we want to participate as a form of strength, because we all think about those stories of like the stories of transformation that we're so inspired by, well, it starts with kind of the tough things.
Right.
Something needs to be transformed to enjoy a transformation story.
And once you realize that that transformation needs to happen, often we go when we talk to other people, but they're maybe not in our situation with us, or they're in our situation with us and they don't necessarily see themselves, and they don't see how behaviors are impacting the relationship, or they're outside of the relationship and they have an opinion, but they are not experiencing what we're experiencing. So if you're in a hard place, you might reach out to someone who then gives you advice that's not helpful for you, and that can be frustrating sometimes, but they're not in your space. They're not in the situation you're in. And even if they've experienced something similar before, they didn't experience exactly what you're experiencing. So sometimes our sympathy doesn't give us the ability to help someone where they are. We want to help people where we are.
Well, and we do want to help people. We got we got some calls coming in, so we're gonna continue that conversation. We're gonna talk with Judy, who's calling us from Woodbury, New Jersey. Listens on WFIL. We're glad you called, Judy. How can we help you today?
Yes, I've been in therapy for 31 years with a specialist with DID. Dissociative identity disorder. The abuse started at a very young age, and I always knew that there were others inside, but I thought everybody had others inside. But just like the things that go on at home, nobody talks about it. But with my was growing up, I never formed a close friendship. Mm. Everything I learned about how people interact, I learned from books. Mm-hmm. Now I'm 78, and I don't have friends that know my history, you know, because mm-hmm. it's something that's not talked about. Mm. And it's hard for me to be at this age and not have contact with somebody who lives life the way I do.
Yeah.
We're so glad you reached out today, Judy. What would your question be?
Part of my problem is, how do I form trust to let people know what I'm dealing with? People at my old church told me they don't know how to deal with me. They don't know how to talk to me. Well, I'm like, I've always been multiple. You've never known me any different.
Yeah.
Why is there this?
Well, let's hear.
I don't know.
Let's hear what Chris and Jackie have to say. Judy, I'm glad you called. Chris or Jackie, who wants to start?
Yeah, Judy. First and foremost, my heart is lit up with gratitude that you called today, because I want our audience to hear what one particular person who suffers with dissociative identity disorder, which used to be called multiple personality disorder, sounds like. Because we get these horrible stereotypes in our mind, whether that be like that old movie Sybil or something mm-hmm. else around that, that doesn't represent the actual person who is dealing with on the inside. And so you can hear the music. We're going to go to a break pretty soon here. But the first and foremost thing that, Jackie, you had mentioned is we've got to break down this stigma of what this is and what this is about, so that the people like Judy, who we get the great honor of hanging out with a little bit today, other people get that great honor, but also know what to do when these certain things in our lives show up and how to handle it well. So Judy, hang on. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back after this, and we're going to share more of the solution with you.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, we're this month, if you give a gift of any amount, we're going to send you a copy of the devotional 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. And we've been talking about shame a little bit. And I don't think it's shameful that Judy called today. We're so glad that you did. But I know, Chris, you have something to say to Judy and our audience. Go ahead.
So, Judy, you asked a question similar to this. I'm going to put my words on it, and it was, do all of us have these different identities inside of us? And I can answer that with a resounding yes. Mm-hmm. However, when we experience trauma super early in life and it's really intense, some of us have to retreat into these different personalities, these different identities that then just tend to show up more strongly than others. And we can, what we call split, we can find ourselves in one of these personalities, one of these identities stronger than another. And that's really kind of the birthplace of this. But we all have it. to a greater or lesser degree. And I think all of our work is to be able to integrate these different parts of us.
And you were saying, Judy, that people are at church are finding it difficult to be with you, to talk with you. And interestingly enough, that's the place where we go, right, when we need comfort and solace.
That's what
but
I thought.
It is. However, we have to remember that we're all humans, and these humans don't have the capacity or the understanding to be able to help in what you're going through. I heard you say, but these parts have always been here. I've always been this person. So my guess is that at some point you took a risk and shared your truth with someone, and now that's had made people start to treat you differently. And I think that that's
my ex-husband did.
Oh, so your ex-husband did. So I think that that's a them issue more than a you issue. The trust issue, though, that part is for you to decide if you feel safe enough as who you are. If you have, in the work that you've been doing over the past 31 years, integrated your parts well enough that you can be out in the world and be authentically who you are, and you fully accept you, lovingly, without judgment, without malice, just lovingly, just accepting that this is who I am, these are my parts, and I'm doing the work so that I can live my best life as a whole person, fully integrated. Mm-hmm. Other people may not understand it when you try to talk about it because they don't recognize their parts as individual. They just see themselves as a person, and they have moods, and they might think a certain way in these situations. But you've become intimately acquainted with your different parts as almost individuals. That's something that other people can't really understand. But when you show up, whoever you show up as, that's who they're spending time with. So they don't have to take responsibility for all of your parts, just the you that is present with them. And at 78, you probably have a lot of people who do know you, but maybe they don't know you as deeply as you would like to be known. And I've learned over my few years on the planet that often when I felt unknown and like people couldn't see me, it was because I was hiding.
That's good, Jackie.
I love that. Well, I'm so glad that you called, Judy. We're going to send you a copy of the Restoration Bible that has some great devotionals that go along with it. And, you know, the challenge of connecting is real, no matter what you're dealing with. You know, so it's not just you. And I want to encourage you, even if you want to join us on a life recovery group, you know, we can connect you with one. Maybe in your area, but that could be a good way to practice that connection. And we're just glad you called. We're going to take a call. Oh, you want to say something?
Yeah,
before
I was just going to jump in, and only because like there has been some great, great therapeutic breakthroughs and innovations, especially when it comes to dissociative identity disorder. And one of the really powerful kind of schools of therapy that have come out of this is called internal family systems, or IFS, as we oftentimes refer to it. And I've been actually a client of it and a practitioner of it. And I just think that, again, it is so powerful and so effective. So if you're struggling with this, I want to encourage you to reach out to someone who is IFS trained or certified, and they can really help bring these different parts and integrate them. And it's a fancy way of saying, I'm learning to live well with all the different parts of who I am.
That's very good. Very good. Okay. Now we'll talk to Marie, who's calling us from Philadelphia, listens on WBYN. Hi, Marie. How can we help you today?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because I am a married woman. I am the mom of many, many daughters. I don't have any sons. And I've always told my girls, you can come to me with anything. I may not understand, I may not have the answer, but I am here for you. And my lovely daughters have always taken me up on it. But this is round six. This is my sixth daughter. I've been at this a while and I'm stumped. And so I thought I'd call in today and ask. I have a teenage daughter and she's 14. And for the last couple of years, we've gone through different talks about intimacy, sex, menstruation, and we've gotten through everything except the most recent question was, Mom, I was wondering if you would buy me a vibrator.
Hmm. What'd you say to her, Marie?
I said to her, I'm not sure what I think of that. I have to think about it a little bit. We did talk a little bit more about intimacy. This actually came up because she ended up having an infection, which required going to the pediatrician and having a lab result and finding out she had a staph infection and a urinary tract infection and had to be put on antibiotics. And she's conveyed that's how she got it. And I kind of sidetracked because I don't know what to say in the situation. And I focused a little bit on you need to make sure your hands are clean, you need to make sure all of that. But my struggle as a Christian mom, first of all, I remember when I was a teenager 40 years ago, that there's a lot of questions and hormones and feelings and exploration.
Right.
And so I'm not conveying to her that it's wrong. I'm not conveying to her any of that. But the thing that she said to me was, I'm trying to stay pure before marriage, and I thought this would be the way to do it. And I'm lost. I'm lost.
Well, Marie, first of all, I'm going to say good job, Mom, for having those kind of conversations with your daughter and that she feels secure enough to talk with you about that. But that being said, it is a new culture. It is a new day. It's not 40 years ago. But there are some things that are pretty consistent across time. But with that, I will hand it over to Dr. Jackie Mack-Harris to start the conversation.
Yes.
Jackie?
I want to just piggyback on what Becky just said. Way to go, Mom, being open and having that relationship. I have daughters as well, and I've always said you can tell me anything. I might not like it. I might not agree with it, but you can always tell me anything. So way to go. And I've learned through experience that sometimes the things they share, you're like, oh, shoot. Okay, I did say you can tell me anything, right? So
yeah, I didn't necessarily mean anything is
right.
what I'm thinking
yeah, right.
in my head.
You couldn't have imagined what anything would be. I think it's wonderful that she can come to you and ask this question, that you guys have such an open and trusting relationship that she can be honest and vulnerable and feel safe with you. I love the way you answered the question because you really don't have an answer. You were honest about that and you don't know how you feel about it. And I think no matter what we would say here, you would still have to be able to answer that question. What do I think about this? What are my feelings? Because that's what she's asking. Can you buy me a vibrator? How do you feel about doing that? And as I hear the music coming, I want to just kind of wrap this up and say, I don't know how I would answer that question to my daughter either, but if she was saying she didn't want to have sex, but she's feeling those sexual feelings, we'd have to figure something out. So I first of all, I want to have more of a conversation with her, but I would prefer for her to be with herself than and soothing herself than to get into an intimate relationship with someone else and all the ramifications that can come from that. So this would be an ongoing conversation I'd be having with my daughter. And as we are coming up on time, I think we should, I'll just pause and we'll come back to you after this break.
Yeah, very good.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were just finishing a conversation that we were having with Marie, and Chris had some comments that he wanted to make.
Yeah, I can only echo what has already been shared with Jackie and Becky, and that is I love to hear when parents are having open and honest conversations with their children about these issues, because these issues are real and they are talking about it. And if they don't talk with you about it, they're going to talk with somebody else about mm-hmm. it. And so 14-year-olds figuring all this stuff out with each other is pretty much not a good idea. But what I want to go, I want to move away from the purity aspect of this, because there's a larger issue at stake here, and that might sound weird, but let me go here. When we use sexual self-pleasure as a coping mechanism for the struggles of our life, that's where it can turn into something pretty compulsive and even addictive in sneaky ways, but very powerful ways. And so this is the conversation is like, are you using this as a medicator for insecurity? Are you using this as a medicator for loneliness? Because the more that we self-soothe sexually and in isolation, the further it removes us from the solutions that we actually need for what we're struggling with in our life. And so as she's exploring these different emotions, and my goodness sakes, we had a Kiri from Colorado Springs earlier. It's like the adolescent brain is like springtime in Colorado. You know, I talk about this story of like my brother and I went skiing one morning. I grew up in Colorado, and it was a bluebird day, gorgeous, sun was shining, it was fantastic. In the mountains, this was in late February, it started actually raining, which is kind of weird, you know, and a storm front came through, and then it kind of turned into snow, but there was tornado warnings down in Denver as we were up in the mountains, and long story longer, but by the time we got home, there was 6 inches of snow on the ground. It was a full-on blizzard. That's the teenage brain, right? And so as she's going through so much transitions and so much and trying to figure it out, including her own sexual awakening, that being able to put that in the context of safe, secure, and helpful guiding relationship is critically important. We all need to learn how to self-soothe, but we want to make sure that we do that in a way that is healthy moving forward. And so, and I would just say this, masturbation as a solution to purity is probably not the best idea.
That's a good one. And Marie, I think that if you can talk to her more about what is driving her to be isolated, you know, is she having trouble with friends? Is she, you know, because that is a big part of the 14-year-old brain as well. We're going to send you a copy of Every Young Woman's Battle, and I think that'll give you a good kind of frame of reference to go forward. We're going to go to Joe, and he's calling us from Philadelphia, listens on WBYN. Hi, Joe. Glad you called and waited. How can we help you today?
Yes, I'm a 63-year-old male, and my wife is 57. We've been together for 30 years. The main question is intimacy, and she has two adult sons that are been having issues ever since they were kids. And now we have one of her sons living with us because he has nowhere to go, and he's gotten in some trouble, but the main question is our communication with about her children and intimacy between me and her. Now, we do have relationships with intimacy. We do get together, and but it's more of a. When we were younger, we were like rabbits. And then all of a sudden, my wife was going through this change of life. And I can understand all women have different issues with that. But it's to the point where I would see, I'm a lovable person. I love my wife very much. I go to church. I usher at my chapel.
Okay, well, listen, because we're getting up to the end of the show, I want to get an answer for you, okay? I think we get the picture that there's been a challenge. And okay. So we're going to start with Jackie, if you want to start, and we'll give Chris an opportunity. If you're on the line, hold on, please, because we'll get to your call as well.
Hi, Joe. It sounds like the question is about communicating with the adult children. So that's different, having this adult man live with you.
Well, one boy lives with us, one boy.
What?
And he's 36 now. He's 36 years old now. But he had nowhere to go. His brother didn't want him. His dad didn't want him because he had issues before with him living with him.
Have you and your wife talked about boundaries with the adult child that's living at home?
Yeah.
Are you guys in agreement?
Yeah, we have some. He hears what he wants to hear. Okay, I'll do that. Yes, yes, yes. And then I think he's been with us for like 3 months now. He's not motivated. Now, he's having issues with his wife that they're separated. He sent him a pornographic picture with her making love with somebody else. So
he's having a really hard time, and this is starting to bleed over into your relationship, and it sounds like that's frustrating for you.
Yeah, well, hold on, Joe.
Okay,
go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Joe, so again, you hear the time, so we want to help you. It sounds like your son has a lot to figure out. Do you hear that? Sounds like he has a lot to figure out. He's grown, right? Okay. Now, I want you to listen to your own disruption. There is a ton of intensity in your voice, how it's disrupted you and how it's disrupted your marriage. Okay. So there's the external boundaries of this is what I do and what I don't do. So Joe, listen to me, man. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Here's the best possible solution I can give you, and I can't give you a better one, and I believe in it 100%. Okay? You and your wife need to sign up for Intimacy in Marriage October 21st in Dallas. There is a communication barrier that you guys are experiencing that is creating frustration where neither one of you feel quite understood. And so other outside influences or stressors disrupt you guys way too much. It gets you off of your marital game.
It's getting triangulated in as the focus of the problem.
Yes.
When the focus can really be put back on you and your wife, and your communication and your intimacy, and intimacy in marriage sounds like a wonderful solution.
Joe, I got to do this in about 20 seconds. You mentioned intimacy, and then you talked about everything else other than yourself. So what's really important is that you and your wife find a safe place and way in which you can talk about your own internal world with each other. And that, I'm telling you, that will make a tremendous difference in the intimacy in your marriage. And lo and behold, New Life has intimacy in marriage.
Right. Well, and it also will help you have a plan for your adult son. Joe, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love. If any of you are listening and you're having those challenges, you can give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to continue taking calls. We're so grateful for you listening, and we're grateful for Chris and Jackie's wisdom. And if you're on the line, hold on, because we'll be right back. We're so grateful for all you
listening. Thanks for listening.
Right now.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.